Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves, it's what our moms tell people when the cat breaks the stream setup. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
And also, sometimes on this show, cats unplug our capture card and we have to start over again. But she's still here. She's still staring at me, waiting for her moment to pounce. But I think I've managed to get us back on track.
I think we're good. And you know, that's the first time. That's the first time that something this bad has happened. So I think we're doing all right over here.
It's the first time in what? How many episodes have we done now? 32. Yeah. That's the first time in 32 episodes that we've had to restart for technical reasons or restart it at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty impressive. Don't you think, Rosie? She agrees.
I think that's pretty. And you know what?
For those of you who can't see her, which is all of you, my 19-year-old cat Rosie is sitting in front of me and might have murdered our first take.
Well, that's all right. You know, we'll leave this issue in 2021 and we'll start fresh in the new year.
Exactly. I like that attitude. Now, one of the things we wanted to do for today's show, because it's the last episode of 2021, is we want to go through everything that came out this year from Apple and reflect on, was it good? Was it kind of stupid? What would we have changed? Something like that. And this is all, you know, this is all R&D essentially for, I think, my last video of the year, which I'm planning on essentially being like an Apple tier list and like going through and ranking everything. But for this show, I think we should go chronologically.
Yeah.
And John here in the chat says that we need a Rosie cam. I think that's definitely accurate. I guess let's see if Rosie wants to come up and say hi. Okay. Rosie, come say hi. Oh, no. She still looks pretty murderous.
Pretty, not quite as much as
before. You
want to
say something? But,
oh. So, Rosie, what do you think about Apple's 2021 lineup? Not much to say, you know. That's a fair point.
What do you think?
It's a fair point.
Oh. You know, that's actually a really interesting point, Rosie. I'm glad you brought that up. I think not a lot of people are talking about that. Oh, now that's interesting. Okay, I hadn't really considered that. What do you think, Noah? Do you think Rosie's barking up the right tree?
Well, you know, never really thought about it in that way, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It's very.
It really does.
I think we should have Rosie on every week.
I agree. Rosie is. I mean, she's actually a semiconductor expert. That's what she does in her spare time when she's not attacking live streams.
That makes sense. That makes makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And she's the best at what she does. She really is. Also, Sharon, I have to point out that the way that I hold Rosie is very intentional, because whenever she is picked up, her legs become like sticks and she sticks them straight out. So you have to hold her facing outwards. If she's facing you, she attacks. So it's all been finely tuned. But yeah, so now she's once again returned. She's sitting this time though far away from the HDMI, so we should be good for an uninterrupted podcast.
Okay, good.
Let's find a list here of everything that Apple released in 2021. I'm trying to find a list. You know, if we were good at our jobs, we would have already had one, but there you go. That's the level at which we operate. Wow, that's not as long of a list as I thought, but I guess that's it. Wow. How many products do you think Apple released this year?
When we say products, do you mean like does the 14-inch and 16-inch MacBook Pros count as two products or one product?
Oh, good question. Let's count that as two.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember what we had, because I know we had the events. We had like the event that had the AirTags in it, and the HomePod Mini was with the iPhone. But what was with the AirTags? I'm like totally blanking.
Well, if I tell you, then you'll be able to just count.
All right, fine. Then
so you gotta ballpark it. You gotta guess.
I gotta guess. Fine. So let's see.
And for the purposes of this, I'll split iPhone 13 into two, like 13 and 13 Pro, but not into four, because I feel like that's a bit misleading.
Okay. Let's see. So there were two iPhones. There was an Apple Watch, or there were four iPhones, but we'll count it as two. There was an Apple Watch. There were the two MacBook Pros. There was, what else was there? Like the HomePod Mini colors. I don't know if that counts. It's not really a new product, but that was something they did. The AirTags. And I feel like there were a couple other things. I don't know. Maybe there were like 10 products, something somewhere around there. I'm not sure though.
All right. Well, I think he actually did pretty well, because the correct answer would be at least 10, but 13 if you count, you know, iPhone 13 and 13 Pro. iPad Pro 11 and 12.9 are two different things, and the two different MacBook Pros. So my count was 13 based on that breakdown. Let me shut my door. It just came open as Rosie exited. She knows how to use doors, by the way.
That's very scary. We really gotta look out for that.
Yeah, it is actually kind of freaky, because you'll just be sitting around and it's like midnight, and then a door just slowly opens.
And it's over. Ugh. For you.
Yeah, then you know it's curtains. Anyway, so 13 Apple products released in 2021. Sorry, I thought she was coming in again. I'm like kind of being haunted here. Don't worry about it.
Oh, jeez.
It's a slight feline haunting. You know, it's weird, because I feel like... All right, can we get a poll, actually?
Give me about a minute to get going here. But we can definitely get a poll going.
Because I feel like my sense as a content creator who sort of like monitors comments and sentiments on different channels, you know, my comment section, Twitter, other content creators and their following. And I sort of like, I'm always kind of trying to get an idea of like what people are thinking, because I like to include that in my reviews. I've sort of assumed that people thought this year was a little bit light. That was the takeaway that I've seen. Now, I don't know if that's a combination of my audience liking Macs, and we only really got the new MacBook Pros in terms of like big Mac News. I don't know if that's also because the iPhone people had a light year this year, so maybe those two things seem to come together in that way. But what I want to know in this poll is, if we go with 13 Apple products this year, do you think that that is above or below average for the past years? And I'm going to pick, let's say, let me see if I can find a Wikipedia of just like all Apple products.
So we want to know, do you think 13 Apple products this year is above or below average?
Yeah.
Do we want to have an average, just so we have above average, below average? Do you want like a average option?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Let's have it like fewer than usual, about the same as usual, more than usual.
Okay.
And to be clear, I'm going to qualify products as like electronic devices. So I'm not counting the polishing cloth. That's like all of the little things that go on as accessories, like a new MagSafe wallet. That's not like, I wouldn't count that as a new Apple product, because that's not like something that got event time or a press release or like major attention.
Well, that polishing cloth is revolutionary. I would count, you can't count that.
Oh, out. You're right. That's true. I would count that. I think the AirTag counts, but that's kind of like the minimum, right?
Yeah.
Anything below an AirTag doesn't really count as like a new Apple product in terms of the common vernacular, I guess.
Okay.
But I do want to see here, looking at some of these other years.
Poll is up, by the way, if you want to put the link on the screen.
Oh, yes. app.darkmodepodcast.com. That's the link. That was also me putting it up myself, but guess what? Boom, there it is. Go ahead, get over there to app.darkmodepodcast.com. And that will allow you, the viewer, oh gosh, this monitor is not scaling very well, but oh well, I'll share the screen. It wouldn't zoom very smoothly, but here we have the poll. It's very small font. Oh my goodness.
Try zooming.
But it doesn't zoom. I mean, it's working, but now it's off center. Oh well, whatever. Oh, I can't vote. Oh gosh. Oh, it's crooked.
Reload the page, I think. That might fix it.
It seems to have fixed it. Aha, there we go. Okay. Yay. Hooray. Nice. Live technical support with Noah Rubin. Thank you. I'm going to vote for about the same. And it looks like so far not... Ah, that's weird. My impression of the YouTube and Twitter audience does not line up with the impression that we're getting of people who are watching the episode. Maybe that's because we actually counted and said it was 13, and then people are like, oh, that sounds like a lot. So we might have actually... We might have biased our response pool here, but I have a list in front of me here, Noah.
All right.
Thanks to good old Wikipedia.
Gotta love it.
That tracks every Apple like major announcement by year. And I'm actually a little bit surprised. So we'll start with 2010.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed that like 50% of the time people say 2010 and then 50% of the time people say 2010, but once you get to like 2011, 2012, people don't really say 2011 or 2012?
You know?
Have you ever noticed that?
I never noticed that, but I think you might be right. It's kind of funny.
Huh. Because of course, like nobody said 2009.
Yeah.
No. Actually, I knew someone who said that, and I was like, that sounds so stupid. Stop saying that. Yeah,
that's not right.
But 2010, I feel like 2010 sounds fine. 2010 also sounds fine. Yeah. But I would never say, like, 2021. That sounds goofy. Yeah. Anyway. Can you tell I have ADHD? In 2010, 11 product announcements. Because I'm not counting like the Magic Trackpad as a product. So 11 in 2010. Nine in 2011. That's pretty low. And that, by the way, includes MacBook Pros early and late. Although I guess you could expand that to like 12 if you count 13. Well, there's 13, 15, and 17. So then I guess it would go to like 15 products in 2011. Mm-hmm. What if we go to somewhere like 2014? I feel like 2014 didn't have a lot of announcements. So the MacBook Air early 2014 came out. The 21.5-inch iMac. A fifth generation mild refresh to the iPod Touch. I wouldn't even count that. And then there was a MacBook Pro refresh that was incredibly minor. Then, of course, the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. And then the 5K iMac. An iPad Air 2. And the iPad Mini 3. That's a pretty light year, I would say.
Yeah.
The iPad Air 2 and the 5K iMac and the iPhone 6 were all pretty big. 2015 had a bunch. MacBook Air and MacBook Pro. The Retina MacBook. The 15-inch MacBook Pro that came out later. The original Apple Watch. A refresh to the 5K iMac, the iPad Mini 4, the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, the Apple TV HD, and the iPad Pro 12.9. That's a pretty packed year with pretty significant updates.
Yeah.
The most significant, of course, being the butterfly keyboard that ruined everyone's life. Essentially.
Yeah.
So from looking at this, I guess it really depends on how you count Apple products. It depends on whether you count an iPhone 13 mini, 13, 13 Pro Max, and 13 Pro. Whether you count that as 2 or 4 or 1 would depend on it. But I think if we cut through all of that, our poll here, which has 53% voting for about the same number of products as usual, seems to be the correct answer, or at least the ballpark answer.
Yeah, I think so. Because especially there was a good point that this, now we're in Apple Watch and AirPods times. And if you go back a couple of years, you know, neither of those products. A couple years, okay. Apple Watch was what, 2015, and the AirPods were 2017, mm-hmm. right, with the iPhone 10. So,
yes.
So if if you go back before that, then there's two products, or I don't know if you count the Apple Watch, the two case sizes as different ones, or there's like the SE versus like the 7, whatever. Mm. The point is, like, if you compare now to the last couple of years, it's probably about average. If you go back before then, it's interesting because I feel like now there's more of those extra things, AirPods, Apple Watch, like AirTags, whatever. But then back in the past, I feel like there were more, like the Macs were updated more frequently and there were more like options or things going on. Whereas like with the Apple Silicon, it's a little bit more streamlined, I guess. Like we're not seeing, you know, two new ones per year. And, you know, there used to be the 17-inch MacBook Pro. Now we only have two sizes, or actually we have three sizes of MacBook Pro right now, but we'll see what happens with that. So I don't know. It's just it's interesting. I guess I'll just say this, that some things have changed But I guess the total number of products has stayed around the same. So kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? I think that really speaks to Tim Cook's strength as a CEO has really been building an ecosystem. Like, if you think back, and I'm trying to find this ad, under Steve Jobs, a lot of what Apple was doing was converting from the hub for your products to just having all of the products that you use in the first place. So I'm trying to find this ad. It's from like 2001 or 2002. And it basically, it shows the Mac, which was at that point basically their only device. I think the ad predates the iPod. And they basically have the Mac as this central device that you can connect, burn CDs, connect your camera, connect your printer, all of these, connect your multimedia, your Walkman, all of those aspects. And it was sort of the hub for that. I think they even called the iLife suite the digital hub, which is really interesting because after that, Apple started to realize, like, now wait a second, why just be the hub for the multimedia player when we can make the multimedia player and when we can also sell you the music rather than you being just the hub for ripping your CDs? Why don't we just sell you the song in the first place? Why connect your camera when we could make your camera in your iPhone? And I think that was really the spark, and it starts with the iPod, just continually converts into a much more well-rounded, it goes beyond a computer manufacturer and into like probably the first example of big tech, even though that's kind of like a negative buzzword, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen this ad that you're talking about, or if I did, I don't remember it, but that is kind of interesting to look at that and then see how they can like take, you know, you're like, yeah, like your Mac does all that stuff and like they're really big on the ecosystem now, and it's, you know, all of your products working together and, you know, handoff and continuity and whatever, and I guess that ad was almost like a precursor. I'm sure they had thoughts like this at the time, but they just didn't have the products and the technology to do it, and now they do.
Yeah, exactly. I really want to find this ad now. I think it was the iBook G4. And they sort of touted the... Oh, I think I found it! Ha ha ha! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, let me share my screen here. I feel like I'm probably... I think I should probably mute this for copyright reasons. But take a look at this ad here. So we've got the glorious new iBook. A camcorder flies across the screen. I think a cassette was over there. An MP3 player. A CD player. A digital camera. Oh, that was a PDA, right? So you see how they're positioning the iBook as the center of the universe of peripherals. And then they said, wait a minute. Why not be the center of your universe when we could be the universe?
Yeah.
And when we look at the number of products that have come out this year, it's not Mac updates. When I was looking at that list of every Apple product by year, when you go back to 2009, 2010, even 2015, incremental Mac refreshes were the majority of that. Before 2015, you would get probably an iPod or an iPad, sure, iPhone every year, of course, and then the rest of it was little Mac updates. But now, like you said, no, we've got AirPods, we've got AirTags, we've got Apple Watches, we've got iPhones, iPads still, Macs still. It's a much broader ecosystem.
Yeah, there's Yeah, a lot of stuff. And then even, you know, like the cases and the MagSafe wallets and stuff, and they do, and like the watch bands, and they do like seasonal colors for the watch bands and stuff. And like, you know, you don't True. Have to consider those as products, because they're definitely not at the same level, but Apple's doing, because like Apple never really did that stuff. And I remember they did the bumper cases for the iPhone 4 that they gave out for the antenna gate issue. And I feel like, that the first time that they ever made like a case? Because I don't remember them making a case ever. I don't know.
You know what? We have to go on archive.org. I know we were like, hey, let's make a video where we recap our things from 2021. And now we're here trying to go back and find the first Apple case. But I really love using the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
It's where I do a lot of research for videos. So let's go back and look at like the iPhone 3GS, for example. And it can be a little finicky to use the Wayback Machine, and it takes a long time to load. But that's true. I can't think of an Apple-made case for Apple for an iPhone before those bumper cases. Which, again, you know, that's why make the device and let everyone else get in on the cases when we'll make the case too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, accessories wasn't even one of the tabs at the top of the website in 2009.
Yeah, I think that was only recently.
I don't know about you, but I do not see any... I don't see any accessories.
Yeah, I don't think they...
I don't see anything at the bottom.
They may have used to sell third-party cases even at that time, which they still do, but I don't think they ever...
I'm sure they did.
I don't think they made... And even, you know, the bumper case, you can argue if that's really a case or not, because it only protects the sides, not the back. But I think that was the first, like, case that they made. And now, obviously, they make, you know, I guess the MagSafe cases now, and I don't know. It's interesting.
It is very interesting. And I... Okay, here we go. Here's the Apple Store. Oh, okay. There is an iPhone accessories tab here in 2009. Let's see what's in here. This is quite interesting. Oh, wow. Look at this. Huh. I'm not seeing any cases, certainly any Apple ones, but we've got Apple Care, the old power adapter. Wow, they charged $30 for that. They charged $30 for those earphones, those god-awful sounding things that nobody liked.
Oh, they have Nike Plus iPod. I had that a long time ago.
I didn't even realize that they had... Look at this. Look at these in-ear headphones with remote and mic.
I remember that. I never had Apple them, made. But I do remember those.
I don't even remember that. $80? Golly.
Yeah, those were fancy.
The Apple Universal Dock. No cases in here. So yeah, I think you were right. The iPhone 4 bumpers were the only... Oh wait, cases and armbands. There's another tab here, but I don't imagine that...
Oh, the okay, there's iPod socks. That's stretching the argument of a case, because you can't really use the thing while it's in the sock.
But... And certainly was not for iPhone.
Right. I think the rest of this
And is... all of these other iPhone cases are third party. Yeah. So there you have it. Apple didn't... You know, this is... Apple was three generations into the iPhone. And they didn't think, hey, what if we just made the case that we want the iPhone to look like, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you have to give Tim Cook credit, because he really figured out a way to make Apple a much broader company. And that's what we saw this year. I mean, think about it. Here's everything that came out this year. The AirTag, the Apple TV 4K update, the iPad Pro 11 and 12.9 with the M1 chip, 24-inch iMac, the 9th-gen regular iPad, the iPad Mini, the Apple Watch Series 7, iPhone 13 and 13 Pro, 3rd-generation AirPods, and the MacBook Pro 14 and 16. That's it. That was everything that came out this year. And what I find really interesting about that is there were only really two Macs. That's pretty rare compared to the Intel days where, you know, if I go back and I look at the timeline of Apple products for any given year, in 2013, for example, the MacBook Pro was updated, the MacBook Air, the iMac 21.5 and 27, and then the MacBook Pro got another update, got two during that year, early and late 2013, and then the Mac Pro came out, the trash can, 2014, MacBook Air, again, iMac, again, MacBook Pro, again, the 5K iMac came out, and then the Mac Mini got an update. So up until 2020, pretty much every Mac got an update every year, even if it was minor. In 2014, the only thing that they changed were the processor frequencies. That's literally it. So not a big deal, obviously, but that is definitely something that we have to get used to now. You know, we got the new iMac, half of the new Macs we got this year had the same chip as the other ones.
Yeah, that's true. And the iPads.
And I want to say, this is something I've seen a lot when I've said, like, wow, Apple, like when we were in like September and whatever, and people were like, wow, Apple has only released one new Mac and it's the same chip as before. That's unprecedented. We've never had that slow of pace. And then people say, oh, well, they're in the middle of the Apple Silicon transition, as this commenter points out. But I want to say, I don't think that we're going to be going back to everything gets an update every year. I really think that, much like with the iPad, these chips are going to be two-year chips. I mean, look at the M1. It's already going into, you know, 2020. It's been a full year. I think it's going to be probably fall of 2022 before the M1 gets a direct replacement.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And, like, first of all, these chips are, like, really good, especially the M1 when you're talking about the more entry-level stuff. You don't need an update every year. But then also, if you look back at the old, you know, 2011, 2012, 2013, 14, whatever, like those updates were so minor that, like, yes, they were true, updating them, you know, even twice a year. But like, mm-hmm, the updates were barely, like, if there's no reason, if you got like the early 2011 and then the late 2011 came out, I don't know if that was a thing or not, but like there's zero reason. Like, I think was my 2011, I think it was an early 2011, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
They basically moved the processor tiers. Like in early 2011, the 15-inch had a 2.0, a 2.2, or an optional 2.3 gigahertz Core i7. Mm-hmm. In late 2011, they made the 2.2 standard, and then there was a 2.4 for the higher tier and an optional 2.5.
Yeah, so...
And then they also, I think, shifted the graphics. Again, another tier.
Interesting. I mean, but the point is there's no reason that you would want to up, like, it's, I guess it's good that, you know, there's multiple refreshes, and so you jump on to you know, whenever you're ready to upgrade, you just get the latest one and it's newer and whatever, but the upgrades were so minor that, like, if you had, you know, if it was late 2011 and you're ready to upgrade, And if the early 2011 were still the new computer versus, you know, they went ahead and released the late 2011, you wouldn't notice a difference, or it would be such a small difference.
Oh, yeah.
It makes sense that they're slowing down the pace of releases, which is just that they're, like, releasing less frequently, but, like, it really doesn't make a difference.
But I think it makes a difference, not in the case of the M1, but in the case of the M1 Pro and Max. Because I think Apple slightly underwhelmed in some ways with the M1 Max. I think we had a whole discussion about this, how it's not really faster than other CPUs at that price point, and certainly than other GPUs at that price point. Now, it's the issue with the M1 Max is purely positioning, in my opinion. I think it's a technological triumph of a chip, but Apple is positioning it as the very best. And when you look at running, you know, outside of video editing, where it absolutely demolishes everything else, there are many, many places where the M1 Max can be beat for the same or less money.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that the chip is bad by any means. It's not. And depending on what you do with your Mac, it's a fantastic chip. But with a 2-year cycle, that's a really risky bet. You're really expecting to get a ton of mileage out of that chip. And I think there was a reason that Apple used to do updates pretty much every like 7 months. Cause if you look at the MacBook Pro, for example, and we go all the way back to its inception, right? We had early 2006 and then late 2006, mid 2007, early 2008, late 2008. Then there was a mid 2009, a mid 2010, and then early 2011, late 2011, mid 2012, early 2013, late 2013, mid 2014. Are you starting to see a little bit of a pattern?
I'm just impressed that you memorized like when all these Macs came out.
I mean, of course I did.
I mean, of course you did, but it's still impressive.
In fact, when Apple broke that pattern was 2015, because there was the early 13-inch and a mid 15-inch, and then there was no early 2016. It went to the late 2016 15-inch, and then that's sort of where they stopped with the early mid stuff, because they stopped doing updates as much. Then it was, you know, mid 2017, late 2018, mid 2019, or like early mid 2019. They kind of went a little off schedule there after that. But it was every single year something happened to the MacBook Pro until 2020. 2020 was the first time where the flagship, the 16-inch, sat around, didn't get touched. It made it 2 years, almost a full 2 years. And I mean, you and I and everyone here both know that in September of this year, everyone was looking at the 16-inch MacBook Pro that they were selling for $3,000+ and saying, that is a pointless product and nobody should buy it. And it's just not a good look for the company that's trying to sell you the best of everything when they're selling you a very obviously neglected device. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I would even say that the iMac, the 27-inch, is in that category.
Oh, yeah.
That's a neglected product right now. And I get Definitely. That they're in the transition, but if they're really going to... Like, think about it this way. The M1 Pro gets to the iMac, let's call it March or April, right? That's what happened with the 24-inch. So let's say April, we get the 27-inch iMac with M1 Pro and M1 Max. At that point, that's a five-month-old chip. That's fine by industry standards. But then 2 years pass without an update. It's a 2.5-year-old chip in a brand new device. It's not going to be realistically competitive, right? We're talking about Alder Lake is coming out. AMD is constantly keeping up the heat. We've got NVIDIA gearing up for their 40 series graphics cards in the fall of 2020. And you're telling me that Apple is still going to be iterating on the M1 generation 2 years later. It's hard to keep pace in the high end at that speed.
Yeah, I think, I guess to qualify what I was saying before, I definitely think for the pro chips, they need to be updated more often, because the pro level is where you're pushing the performance and it's where you need all of the performance. So those definitely need more frequent updates. I feel like for the more consumer stuff, it's kind of funny. I feel like for the more consumer stuff, you can wait longer. Like, for example, my 2018 iPad Pro is still just as fast 3 years later now than it was when I took it out of the box in 2018. And, you know, you take the iPhone, yeah. And if you think about like an iPhone, you know, the iPhone 10, iPhone 11, put the battery problems aside, like the processors are still plenty powerful. And it's kind of funny because I think Apple probably makes more of their money from the consumer stuff because there's more people buying the consumer stuff versus the pro stuff, especially when you get up to the like the Mac Pro level, like the really high level. But I think think Apple needs, they need to update the pro models a lot more frequently, whereas something like the M1, you know, the consumer level stuff, that can, you know, 2 years, that's fine for that, honestly.
Oh yeah. I mean, the MacBook Air is like the iPhone right now. It's so far ahead in terms of speed and competency that Apple doesn't need to touch that thing. It's a year old product and it's still the best value.
Yeah.
That's an amazing achievement because they didn't change the design.
Yeah.
They literally just printed out the same thing that they've been making since 2018, swapped the fan for a heatsink, and it's phenomenal. That's an ROI like masterpiece right there.
Yeah.
But a MacBook Pro doesn't have that luxury because, I mean, it definitely sounds pedantic, right? Because a lot of, like, when the MacBook Pro came out, that the consensus on the M1 Max is like, most people don't need this. So why am I talking about wanting more horsepower? Why am I talking about wanting Apple to do better? And it's not necessarily about, like, do I personally need that extra 20% year over year buying every single model? No. I mean, I'm going to buy all the Macs that come out to review them because that's my job, but do I need that? No. I use a 4-year-old iMac Pro right now, and it's fine. It's not Apple Silicon, but it's fine. So it's not that I need an update every single year. It's that you're operating on an enthusiast level. A lot of people that have MacBook Pros or especially Mac Minis and Mac Pros tend to lean towards an enthusiast side, or at least have a little bit of enthusiast, like they have a little bit deeper understanding of the product.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of normal people will buy the 14-inch and the 16-inch for valid reasons, and those entry-level models are well targeted in that respect. But the high-spec stuff, the, you know, adding gigabit Ethernet on your Mac Minis, adding MPX modules to your Mac Pros, these are enthusiast things, and enthusiasts pay attention. And that's what we talked about the other day, how Apple needs to do better, not just to, you know, sell more products, but to have people's attention, really. Nobody paid attention to the MacBook Pro when it was the 2-year-old Intel one. Now people are like, oh, wow, the new MacBook Pro, it's so good. But maybe they're actually going to go buy a MacBook Air, but they just, you know, it's on their mind. So it's not just about selling, you know, the same product to the same person every single year. There's ripples and effects to that.
Yeah, definitely agree. A lot of the higher level, most expensive machines are the ones that Apple needs to do the most work on to keep them going. And it looks like we have about 16 minutes, if you're all right with going a little over, since we had that technical issue.
Yeah, we can go a little over.
But before we end, I want to run through all the products, and maybe we can just give our brief opinions, and then maybe briefly talk about some stuff that we're looking forward to next year.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, I'll just go in chronological order.
Yeah.
AirTag. What do you think about AirTag?
I think they're a nice accessory. They're not super overpriced, and they do something that no other accessory can do, or they do it the best as far as, you know, having the giant network of iPhones.
Yeah.
I have one on my keys. I have another one that I have not even opened. I haven't even taken the tag out from the battery compartment because I don't know what to do with it. But I don't know. I've used it once or twice to know if I left my keys somewhere or if they were just in the house. Mm-hmm. And I've played hide the air tag with my friends before, which is actually pretty fun. So I don't know.
Oh, that does sound fun.
Yeah.
I like my air tags. I also have two because we split a 4-pack. Mm-hmm. And I put one in my wallet so that I can... I've never actually used it to track my wallet because... It's mainly a paranoia, like, oh no, what if I lose my wallet? Yeah. But that fear prevents me from losing my wallet, so that's good. The other one I normally put in my car, which is somewhat redundant because my car also is GPS tracked, but then I'll really know where it is. Yeah. And I also figured the AirTag is more helpful for finding your car in a parking lot.
That's true, yeah.
Because, you know, you can use the app to really get to a very... precise location.
Have you done that before?
I have once or twice.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever. The other thing that I thought was clever was when I was on a flight, I put it in my luggage.
Oh, yeah.
So that I could make sure it was on the plane, making the connection, and I knew when it was getting to baggage check. Baggage claim. That's a big brain. If you're ever on a plane, once, you know, Omicron dies down a little bit and you can actually go places, put an AirTag in your luggage. It's the peace of mind is fantastic. When you know, taking off and seeing baggage with you, I'm just like, okay, cool. I can relax. It's on the plane.
That is good. I like that.
Apple TV 4K. Thoughts.
This was just a minor update to the... I think they just switched the processor in the 4K, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went to the A12, which actually has a lesser graphics system than the A10X that it was on before.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't have any opinion. Yeah. I have an Apple TV HD, which was the Apple TV 4
so
when
do
it
I.
came out. And I don't even use it these days because I have Android TV built into the TVs in my house here. I like the Apple TV. I could never have a reason to update to the 4K because there's not that much 4K content. Doesn't make that big of a difference. And, you know, this processor mm-hmm. upgrade doesn't really do anything. So,
totally agree. I also have an Apple TV HD, which I rarely use, especially now the Apple TV Plus, which is a service that I have that I enjoy. Ted Lasso. They've got some good movies, and I don't use it all that often, but it's nice to have. But it's built in. I have LG TVs, and it's just in there. And to be honest, I think the Apple TV, for most people, is unnecessary because most TVs just have the streaming platforms in there. I will say, I kind of hate all of the UIs that smart TVs use. They're clunky and often have, like, bloat on them. And could be laggy. So I could see why perhaps having an Apple TV with a much cleaner, smoother interface could be appealing. But at the same time, I don't really care all that much. So I'm not going to spend $189. I think that's how much it costs when I could just hit the Netflix button on my remote and it does the same thing.
Yeah, definitely not as relevant anymore these days. Oh, and I will mention the remote. They did redesign the remote. I never minded the old remote, really. It wasn't great, but like...
You didn't? I hated it.
I mean, it's a touch surface. I don't know. It's I don't think it's that bad.
I mean, I think the calibration was the problem because I could never scroll... Like one tile over.
You can tap that, on
it was
the,
always.
You can tap instead of swiping to move one at a time.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Well, see, I never minded it. The new one's really cool. I tried out the new one in an Apple store for like a minute, but it's cool because it's still a touch surface, but there's also physical buttons, which I thought, I was like, how did they like,
I like
how
that.
Do they deal with this if they remove the touch surface, but it's still a touch surface? So I like the new remote. I would never pay for one. even if I use the Apple TV.
You can get the remote standalone.
But it's like $80 or something. Isn't it like crazy expensive?
For the remote?
Yeah.
Just the remote is $80?
I don't know if it's $80, but it's something like really, like go look, see how expensive it is.
I got to find this. And while I am, iPad Pro M1 11 and 12.9 inch is the next product.
I mean, I have my 2018 iPad Pro and it's still just as good as the day I got it. I have no interest in upgrading it, in upgrading my iPad Pro. So I don't know.
Oh my God. The Siri remote is $60.
The new one's $60.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah, no thanks. I'll just wait. I'm sure eventually it'll be at Best Buy or like TJ Maxx or something. You know how there's always like random old Apple stuff, yeah, accessories at TJ Maxx?
Yeah.
I'll just wait for that.
Yeah.
But my thoughts on the iPad Pros are the same as yours. I think it's goofy to spend that kind of money on an M1 chip that's not necessary for running iPadOS. I mean, long term, it's great. When these are used, refurbished machines, it'll be a great value because you'll be able to buy a 3-year-old device and get 5 more years out of it.
True, yeah.
And it will still feel just as smooth. It also, I guess you could argue, gives you some room should iPadOS become more useful in the future. But honestly, I wouldn't buy it for the future. Like, I wouldn't buy an iPad Pro with the mindset of, oh, well, iPadOS will get better and then I'll be able to use my product. If I'm spending $1,000, I want it to be useful now.
Yeah, just wait and, for the future.
Yeah. Like, maybe the iPad will be better in the future too. So, like, just wait for that.
Yeah.
If the future is what you're shopping for, it's pointless to shop now.
Yep.
Another thing is the mini LED. I'm underwhelmed. I have cat hair in my mouth. I'm underwhelmed by the mini LED on the iPad. They executed it much better on the MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I have no interest in the 12.9 inch iPad, and they don't have mini LED on the 11 inch iPad, so that's just like completely out of the picture for me. But when you showed it to me with like all that blooming, it was pretty noticeable.
I think it's better. Like I think software updates have made it a little better.
Okay.
But it's still not great. Next up, the 24-inch iMac, also an M1 chip, but I think a really solid product. It wasn't the most exciting thing because, like, you know, internally it was just like a Mac Mini in a different shape. But I think for the money, it's a pretty good value. I mean, the base model is what I have because I almost always will just buy the cheapest. That's always my advice. You know, unless you absolutely need upgrades, I always just buy the cheapest.
Yeah.
And the cheapest iMac, you get 256 gigabytes of storage, 8 gigs of unified memory, 4.5K display, 8-core CPU, 7-core GPU, M1. You get 2 Thunderbolt. You don't get Ethernet. You don't get Touch ID. And you don't get 2 additional USB 3 ports. I think the mid-tier model at $1,499 that adds more colors, the 8-core GPU, the additional USB ports, as well as Ethernet and Touch ID, I think that's good for $200. That's a sizable upgrade. But both of those models, I think, are a really good deal and a really good overall package with great speakers, high-resolution displays that I think set Apple's desktops apart. They have always been sort of more pixel-dense than most other all-in-ones or just standalone monitors, which I really like. So I think the iMac is great. What do you think, Noah? I know you used, when that came out, we had 2 of them in the studio.
Yeah, I think they're a great package and a great value. I mean, all of the M1 Macs seem to be pretty good, like the MacBook Air and this iMac and the Mac Mini. They all seem to be like pretty good value. I really like the colors. I like that they had so many options, and I like that they're actually like really colorful, and they're not like the super muted colors that you can barely see, like in the iPad Mini that we'll talk about, and some of the other products. I like the iMac. I'm not really interested in desktop Macs for myself, but I think the iMac is a great package, and I really liked that.
And by the way, if you really like the iMac, you can get the base model for $1,099 on the Refurb store. That's insanely good value. You could pay iPad Pro money for an iMac with a 4.5K display, like all the really great, what do they call it? The sound? Spatial audio. Mm-hmm. I've blanked on that one. Spatial audio, the studio mic array, whatever, the camera, the keyboard included, which is not the case with the iPad Pro. For $1,099 for the base model or $1,269 for the mid-tier one. Insanely good value. The M1s, new and refurbished, are just nutty.
Yeah.
They're nutty. They're so good.
Yeah.
And then in terms of... Oh, yeah. What's next? So next, that was all April. Now we're going all the way back to September. Big old tech drought in the middle. iPad 9th gen. This was, by this time, you were in California, so you never get to hands-on with it, but I liked mine. I still have it, actually. I thought I was going to return it, but I didn't. It's not flashy. It's not fancy. The display glass isn't even laminated, so there's a huge old air gap. So it definitely looks old. It looks pretty ancient, but it's got an A13. It's got plenty of power for iPadOS. And it's $300. What more do you want? It is, I think, a really good value.
Yeah, that was a solid, because they added the what's it called? The color
center stage.
Yeah, the center stage, True Tone. They added, did they add Apple Pencil support to it?
I think it already had that.
I don't know, but they did a couple of quality of life improvements. And you know, that's not the device that I'd be in the market for personally, but it's a super solid device for $300 or like $329 or whatever. Like, that's a super.
And now it has 64 gigabytes of storage, which is usable compared to 32 that it had before.
That's pretty
great device.
Very solid update.
Next up, I didn't want to rush you through that one, but I feel like we're going to have some thoughts on the iPad mini, and we haven't even gotten to the MacBooks and whatnot. So, let's speed this up here. iPad mini. You returned yours.
I did. Yeah, I was disappointed, I guess. But it wasn't all the product's fault. It just, for me, I couldn't really fit it in, you know, because it sits between, you know, the phone and I guess the larger iPad, or between the phone and my laptop, however you want to think about it. But I couldn't really see how to fit it in, because when I was trying to use it for like, you know, like YouTube, watching YouTube or like playing games or whatever, it basically felt like I was holding my phone, but the larger size wasn't really doing me any good. It basically felt like I was holding the bigger iPad. It wasn't like any more comfortable or that much lighter or whatever, but obviously the screen was smaller at that point. I don't know. Not my favorite thing. I think iPadOS looks kind of janky on there. There's like all those crazy big margins on the home screen, and the colors were a bit disappointing. They're like super muted. You can barely tell, you know, at least for I got the purple one, 'cause I thought that would be cool, but it was like very muted. So, I don't know. Not my favorite product, but I don't know. I'm glad it got an update, because it definitely needed one.
Yeah, I really want to like the iPad mini. I still have it. I'm holding out. But I have to admit, I don't use it very much. Mm-hmm. It's been basically on a, whoops, it ran out of battery, let me charge it up, and then I don't use it, and it runs out of battery again cycle.
Yeah.
I leave it on because I really, like when it came out and it was new and fresh, I used it a lot. Because, I mean, it's adorable, it's super light, And it does have a large enough screen that, like, I did enjoy reading stuff on it and, like, web browsing on it, because I oftentimes don't like mobile sites. And so that made mobile sites more legible, or it used, like, an enlarged, like, adapted desktop site, and it was kind of good for some stuff, but yeah, they really need to, something software needs to happen to make that a better product. Also, the screen is not a high quality part.
Yeah.
Next we have Apple Watch Series 7. I have negative zero thoughts on this. I don't care. I think it's so funny that it came out and people were like, wow, this is a total last minute, like, slap and dash product, and I just think that's hilarious. We got to talk about iPhone 13 and 13 Pro. I like them. Minor updates. It's essentially an S year, but I think it's really solid. Obviously, you're not upgrading from an iPhone 12 unless you're Noah, because your job paid it for it, so you might as well. Or you're a YouTuber and you have to review it, so you might as well. But it's still a very solid phone.
Yeah, ProMotion is super nice. I really like the Sierra Blue color. Other than that,
battery life is very satisfactory.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, compared to the 12, there's not that much of a difference. And I'll just say really quickly about the Apple Watch is, yes, it was, very, very minor update, but I am looking forward to getting the bigger screen when I get the Series 8, presumably next year. So,
yeah.
I don't know, but I wouldn't get the Series 7.
And as for the MacBook Pro, I feel like we've already kind of said all that there is to say on the MacBook Pro. It's fantastic. Apple needs to keep on top of their game and keep things going for it to stay fantastic. I think if they left it untouched for 2 years, it would be hard for people to go out and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But the screen is phenomenal. ProMotion and XDR and the resolution is a great combo. I think it's unmatched in the laptop world. They brought the ports back. The cooling is much better. And of course, Apple Silicon works wonders. I think the MacBook Pro has to be my S tier choice for 2021.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. And I think it's the only new Apple product that I got and kept. Well, I guess the AirTags, if you want to count that.
iPhone 13.
Oh, the 13. That is true. But yes, the MacBook Pro is definitely my favorite Apple product for this year. It's super awesome. You said everything already, but it's super awesome.
Yeah. You know what else is super awesome?
What? What's that?
Ending 2021. This is our last episode. And in fact, the last full week has passed of 2021. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, if starting tomorrow, like, or even today, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Friday is New Year's Eve. We almost have another full week.
Not quite.
But we don't. That's crazy. A week from today? We'll be on a week from today, right?
You'll be
here?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. A week from today, I guess we were going to talk about what we're looking forward in 2022, but we didn't really get to that. So I guess that's what we'll talk about next week.
Yeah.
Because next week will actually be 2022.
That's right. And everything will be
a
different.
Weird year. Everything that you know will be wrong. The world is going to change dramatically in the next 7 days. Mm-hmm. Just you wait. I really hope nothing terrible happens and this clip comes back to haunt me.
Oh, jeez. Now you know something's going to happen.
Horrible, like, cataclysmic asteroid strike or something. And people are like, oh, look at this guy. Oh, he called it. Oh, what a fool, you know?
Yeah, well, I could see it.
Well, that's going to do it for this year. See you guys next year. Remember when everyone in school would make that joke?
Yeah. Very funny.
Oh, look, we already have see you in a year. Ho 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 ho. Look at that. Forget everything you know from Bradley. Oh. Yeah. Well, I'll see you in a year. I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Have a great night.